Frank Paul here. Was on the parade route today on the corner of Market and Beale. What a scene, huh? Wasn't that cool? I mean, there was tremendous ovations for Steph Curry. Clay was the last bus, if you weren't there. And we're going to replay a lot of it in the 9 o'clock hour because it's not every day we have a championship parade and it's not every day you cover it as well as KNBR did today. But I think the biggest ovation I saw on the whole parade route was when Adam Copeland was covering it. I mean, people were recognizing him everywhere. The crowd was going nuts. He was throwing confetti in the air, and he's nice enough to join me tonight after working his tail off on the parade and then working today. So he's doing triple duty, and I appreciate you coming on. What's up, Copes? Thanks for joining me, man.
What's up, dude? I didn't know you could hear the cheers like through the radio mics and through the TV mics. I'm glad everybody got a taste of what I had to offer on the parade route.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you're a rock star, and they were going nuts. Steph, way bigger than Steph. So, I mean, tell me about it. I was on the corner of Market and Beale, as you just heard. Where were you at? Did you just walk around? And tell me what you saw and the vibe about it.
Well, so actually, you mentioned that I was doing triple duty. I was thinking about this before I came on. I'm wondering if anybody, and I was going to say maybe like Cal Ripken, but that would be like a consecutive day's work streak. I think, and I'm wondering if anybody's ever hit for the KNBR cycle before, where I did a hit with Murph and Mac at the corner of, where were we, Market and Main Street, or Market and Drum, like right over by Drum Liquors over there at Terminus, that bar down there. They were doing their broadcast this morning. Did a hit with them, did a hit with Papa and Lund, went back to the station, did my show with Tom, and then now I'm on with you. So I think that's a KNBR cycle. So I was down by the start of the parade, right? You were talking earlier when you came on about how Steph was sort of in the middle there, and then they had Clay in the back, which was sort of fun. You get your big celebration with Clay at the back. But I was just kind of walking around the first couple of blocks of the parade route right here, Market and Drum, Market and Main, walking up and back by the big confetti cannons that were going off, right there where GP2 jumped off the bus for the first time and was in the crowd hanging with people. So it was fun, man. It was a good vibe. And what's great about the Warrior parades that are different from the 2014 Giants parade is that you always get good weather because it's June, right? So in the East Bay, you're always getting the sun come June, but it was a great one. First time in San Francisco. I thought it was great weather, fun vibes. We had the day off. A lot of people did because of Juneteenth, and so it was a good celebration, man. It was a lot of fun.
I mean, props to the Warriors, too, for throwing that thing together so quickly. And even though you know you're in the finals, I was saying this in the first segment, these things kind of have a tendency to ambush you, and all of a sudden you have the logistics, you have the parade, it's in the city for the first time, and you have to get the security. I mean, what goes into this parade and the way they pulled it off, you talk about a first-class organization, and everybody in town, you know, from the police officers to the firefighters to the people that staged this thing to the security, I mean, and to the fans who, when you talk about Bay Area sports fans, they're veterans at parades, Copes. Like, how many towns have had as many parades as San Francisco? Not too many. I think Boston, maybe. And if you want to go way back, New York with all the baseball teams. But watching the people today and the joy in their face and how well-behaved they were, you're talking about like veteran championship parade goers.
Well, dude, so I went to I was at this Boston bar across the street from my house last year during the NFL playoffs when, remember, the Patriots just totally got their ass kicked by the Bills. Like, they were down like 21-0 or something, or 24-0 to half. I want to say the Bills scored maybe touchdowns on their first like five drives or something like that. And I was talking to a Patriots fan at this bar, and he was like, I don't know, 22, 23, and he was saying he had never like felt anguish before. He didn't remember an era where the Patriots were not as elite as they are. I was thinking about that today, where if you run back, if you're like a 25-year-old that's a 49er fan, a Giants fan, a Warrior fan, or maybe even a Sharks fan, you go back and you go Giants 2010, 12, 14. You go Warriors four titles in 8 years. You mix in a Stanley Cup appearance for the Sharks and a Super Bowl appearance for the Niners a couple of years ago against the Chiefs, and the Colin Kaepernick one, plus the three state NFC championship games. This has become an elite like pocket of sports in the country, not just for the Warriors, who have built a dynasty that's now like global, right? I mean, you talk about Steph Curry, the basketball icon, and a lot of that credit goes to the NBA for making their superstar league a superstar league, where they've got the most recognizable talent and superstars on the planet. But the Bay Area in and of itself, it's a lot of fun also, because with the Warriors, you talk about, you know, you've got a lot of people here who are still Raider fans and loyal to them. You've got 49er fans. There are still a pocket of A's fans, and there are Giants fans, of course. But with the Warriors, and we say this all the time, it's the Bay's team. It's the one team that everybody's excited about. So when you come to a parade like this, everybody's there celebrating one thing. Doesn't matter if you're San Jose, if you're Gilroy, if you're Livermore, if you're San Leandro, if you're San Francisco, everybody from the area buys into the Warriors, which is, I think, it plays into the magnitude of this dynasty.
I don't know if I have to re-intro you, but it's Adam Copeland, the voice you hear. He's on Afternoons with Tom Tolbert, Tolbert and Copes. They do a fantastic job here at KMBR. I'm FP Santangelo. He was at the parade. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk Giants. I know you're a huge baseball fan, and we had a fun day Saturday together.
By the way, thank God. I hope we get to talk Giants.
Yeah, we're talking Giants. Thank God. Yeah, I got the beers next time. I got a little tipsy Saturday. I think I forgot to pick up a check when you and I were like hanging out. So by you coming on today to hit for the cycle at KMBR, I got beers next time we go out. So
you're good. You're good. I don't think I picked it up either. So ooh, we owe somebody some money.
Yeah, you know? I don't remember the last half hour, but anyways, thanks for coming on today. Switch gears. Am I off base here? Like, you've been around here longer than I have. I was on the East Coast for 10 years. I didn't see all the analytics in motion last year. I didn't see the 107 win season and the success of it and how it works. I am not against analytics. I think analytics are awesome. And when you can have information that helps what you're seeing with your eye, a trained eye with years of experience, and you can combine the two, you can win a lot of ball games. Am I off base here thinking that 14 home runs on the bench against Max Fried today? I just want to see Jock Peterson more. I want to see him against lefties more. He's a dangerous hitter. And even if he does struggle a little bit, there's always that chance that he can run into one. Am I off way off base here?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You know, I don't think you are, but what's funny about what you're saying is the exact argument that the other side would have, right? You want to see him more because he's hitting a ton of home runs, but he's hitting a ton of home runs because they're putting him in situations where he has great success, right? He's facing right-handed pitching. And don't forget, earlier this year, that game, I think it was against the Mets. I was at that game. It was a Warrior playoff game night. The Mets, remember, it was the night Jock hit 3 home runs, and he hit the big home run late to come back. And I think he took one to tie the game and then one to maybe take the lead late, and the Giants blowing it. Either way, the next day, they were facing a lefty. It was a day game. I was out there, and Kapler said, I want to say maybe somebody was tight in the outfield and they couldn't put a right-handed bat out there. And he said, well, I'm putting Jock out there, and the media sort of laughed about it. You might have been there in the scrum. And he said, well, part of it is I just don't want to hear it from the Bay Area fans or the Giants fans that I'm not putting him out there after a 3-home-run game. I think there's something to what you're saying. I think absolutely, like, you get the situations where you go, hey, he's our best option. He's a platoon proof player. We can put him out there against a righty or a lefty. But I also think you've got to buy into the idea with the Giants, and this is what happened in the 107-game season, where just because you see a starting lineup of a guy who's not out there, there's still a damn good chance he's going to get an at-bat, maybe 2 at-bats, maybe 3 at-bats, depending on how deep the game goes or how short of a time the starting pitcher's out there. So I know Max Fried is having a great year. He's given up, 6 home runs or something entering today in 80-plus innings on the season. If they had knocked him around in the first or second inning when they've been really good, Max Fried for some reason gets bounced, they throw a righty out there, you're going to see the line change. You'll see Jock Peterson in there. I think they just want to decide when it is they're going to put him out there and maximize the output he's going to give them. But, dude, as a baseball guy who's watched baseball my whole life, I'm with you. There's stuff that I just want to see. And I was going to throw this at you, man, coming on. How about both pitching lines today? I know the Giants lost, and it was kind of a bummer, but it was a ball game. It was a 2-1 game and 7 innings for both starting pitchers. I thought the pitching matchup was great today. It's what I want to see out of a big league game.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the most impressive thing tonight I saw was Logan Webb make adjustments on the fly. And when you're a younger pitcher and one of, you know, a pitch in your arsenal isn't working, I've seen young pitchers melt down where my slider's not working. Well, that affects my fastball and my changeup. But to see him on the road in front of 40,000 fans against a really good lineup, maybe one of the better hitting lineups in the National League, to just be yanking his slider for 3 innings and to be able to put the wheels back on the bus, to have the wherewithal to keep his sinker down, his changeup down, and to figure out and make in-game adjustments. Nobody better. I played with Pedro Martinez. Nobody better than Max Scherzer at doing that. When all heck's breaking loose around you, to be able to fine-tune your pitch and get it back. And tonight he got his slider back against a good lineup. So he was flying blind, if you will, for a couple innings with just the sinker and the changeup. And his slider was nowhere to be found. He was spinning out early. He was flying open. He was yanking it across the plate. You saw it. He threw a couple to the backstop, hit the mascot a few times. And then all of a sudden, he got it back. against a good lineup on the road, all great signs for a veteran pitcher that maybe a younger pitcher can't do. And that was my big takeaway from tonight. Max Fried hit the wall. The Giants finally got to him, but Logan Webb didn't. He made adjustments in game in the heat of battle. And that's how you separate good from great or great from good. Yeah.
And I actually thought, on top of not having a slider, I thought a little bit early in the game he was getting squeezed a bit too. So for a guy to not have a pitch, it's a key pitch for him to pitch off of the sinker that you're talking about, that he plays the contact a lot, and not have a pitch that he likes to wipe away guys with that he uses the slider for. And then to make the adjustment where I think through four innings he'd allowed four hits. I think he gave up two hits after that into the seventh inning, strikes out seven. The box score is not going to tell you what he battled through, but that was ace-like stuff. And he goes over 100 pitches again. I think you're starting to see a little bit of what you're talking about with eye test versus what's happening in the ballgame. And I think Gabe Kapler looks at Logan Webb, and if he tells you he can go and he wants to compete and his stuff is working and he does make that adjustment in game, you got to leave him out there. And I think Kapler does deserve credit for that over the last couple of starts.
All right, dude, you got to go, man. I'm wearing you out. You've been up all day. You're on the parade route. You came on every single show. You hit for the natural KNBR cycle. You went single with Murph and Mac, double during the afternoon, a triple on your show, and then now you hit the home run on the night show with FP Santangelo. So, Copes, thanks for hitting for the natural cycle on KNBR and joining us. Appreciate it, man.
For what it's worth, dude, in the 2 to 6 hour or show where Tom and I only had an hour and 20-minute show, I'm out of, like, fielder's choice. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it was like a true triple, but I'll take it, man. Good to talk to you, bro.
All right, Copes, take care, man. Keep up the great work. Adam Copeland on the show. I think Ron Wotus just texted me, and he wants to come on. He heard the third base coach talk. He just got done doing the NBC Sports Bay Area postgame show. If you haven't heard Ron Wotus on TV, he's done, like, three shows. He's an absolute natural. I mean, he's going to take over the whole Bay Area broadcasting world if he wants to. He knows baseball as well as anybody I've ever been around, and he wants to talk a little third base coaching. So we'll catch up with Ron Wotus. I mean, the hits just keep coming. A great show tonight so far. Ron Wotus on the other side. You're listening to the Sports Leader.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.